I mean, come on, it's more than just sweaters. It's a Savior that was born, came, God among us, Emmanuel, God with us. See, that's the difference between Christianity and any other religion, to and include Judaism. God wasn't with them. He wasn't there. Buddha's still in a hole in the ground. Muhammad's still in a hole in the ground. All the other false prophets are still in holes in the ground. Jesus left an empty hole. Amen. That's why we sing. That's why we shout. It's not got nothing to do with Christmas presents and all this. It ain't about that. It's just a part of it that we get to enjoy. Okay? You know, for me personally, I've had to learn, one, not to be Grinch. But, believe it or not. But that it's okay. You know, there's times we jump on board, Christmas trees are of the devil. They go way back. You know what? If we really get picky about even Christianity in general, we're not even going to practice that. Because so much of Christianity was brought out of other things too. And the stuff we're being told today didn't happen 1,500 years ago, 2,000 years ago. I saw something, I was thinking about something on the way in this morning. You know, people don't like, some people don't like more modern services. Well, that's fine. That's fine. I tell you what, if you want the same God of 1957, I want you to go back to the 1957 haircut, 1957 pay, the 1957 car, the 1957 tools for your trade. Tell me, do you want more modern things? Yeah. Of course they didn't have electric guitars in David's time. Just because they hadn't been invented, don't think David wouldn't have been jamming. The man lost his clothes dancing. I don't know about you, but that's Dancing with the Stars right there. David put them to shame. And when his wife said, "You're an embarrassment to me," he said, "Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. I can go even further." Y'all, I mean, it don't take a rocket scientist to see what he was saying. He says, I am ashamed of nothing. So I praise God that we can worship Jesus today. I praise God that we can openly raise our hands and declare that he is Lord. Because they are trying to take it. The enemy wants your rights. He wants to stop you. And you need to determine, will I stand? That's all there is to it. And when you start understanding who Jesus really is, that gives you the power to stand. Don't think for one minute, well, I just don't know what I would do. Well, you'll find out. I'm going to talk about some things today. But I want you to understand, praise God. Praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in your driveway. Praise him in your barn. Praise him wherever you're at. Praise him. Be grateful. Amen. I'm going to get my tithe out. Let's bless the tithe and offering, shall we? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, that you are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. Father God, you are the creator of not only this universe, but universes beyond. Father, we thank you and praise you that you have created man to have communion, to have fellowship with him. Father, I pray that you help us all to realize the relationship that we have is not merely a God and servant. Because if that's the case, then Jesus spoke out of turn when he said, "I no longer call you servants, I call you my friends." So, Father, we thank you that you have made us. You have brought us into that relationship. Help us to understand that. And, Father, as we've presented, brought forth our tithes and our offerings today, Father, I call your word as a witness that you do not fail. You said that you would rebuke the devourer. You said that you would cause blessings to pour out in our lives. Father, first off, help us to recount those blessings. Father, help us to see what you've done for us. Now, Father, I present it to you today, precious, blessed, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and the super kids are dismissed. And it is warm. It's a little bit warm in here. Everybody's wearing sweaters. If you're a Michigan fan, yeah. Y'all know my standing on it. I really don't care. But I will do it in order for you to understand God doesn't give a holy rip about it either. He don't care if you root for Michigan or Ohio State, the Browns or the Steelers or the Bengals or the Vikings. He doesn't care about that. Friend, y'all know Bob Montgomery, friend of ours from Michigan. He cannot say anything in his church because he has people that are so immature that they get bent out of shape about it. I'm like, well, stand up and tell them to grow up. It's just a game, folks. I know people treat it like it's more than a game, but you don't, if football or baseball or basketball or whatever were to go away tomorrow, you'd still keep on living. So, and you'd be okay. I know you think you couldn't live without it. Well, praise God. Well, we are still in 1 Corinthians. And 13, it's not going to come up because I didn't tell her to bring it up, but I'm going to read the scriptures we're in right now because we were looking at the definitions of a particular word. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. We are still on rude. Love does not behave rudely. When I broke that down and started looking at the Webster's Dictionary on the definition of rude and what it actually meant to be rude, I found, I believe it was 6 or 7 definitions that I was able to pull scripture that the Bible talks about. And this is supposed to be a characteristic of Christians. And I'll be honest with you, some of the rudest people I have ever met claim Christianity. And they're the ones that just make me want to vomit. And then I have met others that have given their lives. They've given everything for Christ. So as we know, I'll read the definition again. Rude means rough or crude in form or workmanship, barbarous or ignorant, lacking refinement, coarse, vulgar. 4, discourteous, unmannerly. 5, rough, violent, harsh, like a rude awakening. 6, harsh in sound, not musical. 7, having or showing little skill or development, primitive. Now, we talked about last week about the crude in form or workmanship. That's Psalm 139:14. And it says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Folks, we are wonderfully and fearfully made. Are we crude in workmanship? Why should we act crude? Why should we be rude to one another? We are. So many people I see, especially on Facebook and other social media, they talk about how they just don't want to be with people. Part of that I get. Don't get me wrong. We can all understand. If I could just go get off the grid, get away from everybody. Well, you'll go nuts. God made you a social being. You've got to have fellowship with one another. Doesn't mean you got to hang out with the crude crowd all the time. Doesn't mean you got to hang out with those people that are always pushing your buttons. You do what you can. You be the very definition of a Christian, of Christ, to them. But we should never be think that for one minute that God made us in a jumbled up mess. That had nothing to do with it. We were perfectly made. We were created in His image. God breathed the breath of life into Adam's nostrils. God didn't do that for the cows, the dogs, the birds, the fish, horses, cats, right? Man, He took the time to breathe into His nostrils. But He made man to take care of the animals. That was our original plan. We were to take care of this planet. Now, I'm not one of those that's going to go around and say, well, you know what, we can't do anything because, you know, well, there's a bird over there. Let's find that bird a new habitat. Let's be smart about what we're doing. Because we see, you know, if you got a, anybody got a dead ash tree on their property or seen one? I want to see hands. Who's seen a dead ash tree lately? I've seen them up closer than I care to. Ashtray. He's like, I ain't putting my hand up. An ash tree. Well, you know, the ODNR said you can't transfer firewood across the county lines because of the bugs. Since when do the emerald ash borers know how to read? Yeah, evidently. And evidently they didn't care. But that's how man thinks about dealing with things. That's how we've dealt with it. We've just allowed stuff to happen, thinking, well, we're going to put a law down that says you can't burn this firewood across the county line. Marion and Morrow County was a line. I'm like sitting there, like, if you paid attention to it, about a mile that way, there was a set of woods. How does the bug know? I'm not allowed over there. He don't know. So he's going to go. And he came. And he saw, and he destroyed. But that's a whole other subject for another message. Barbarous or ignorant? Barbarous. You know, we all, most of you are a prodigy of the 80s, you know Conan the Barbarian. If you're a history buff, you know who the barbarians were. The Germanic tribes who overthrew Rome. Now, I know this is right up Joe's alley. I probably ought at this point just tap out and let him come up and tell you more about it. I'm not going to get too crazy into that part of it. But the barbarians were so ignorant, they destroyed the very infrastructures that Rome had been developing for 1,500 years. Sewers. Running water. Brought in from miles away. That was never heard of. They had paved, they've got stone or roads that are still paved from when the Romans did it. We really need to send all of our engineers to figure this out. How did they make roads that don't have potholes in them? That would be a great thing. And they didn't just do it in one area. They did miles and miles of these things. Now, we know they did it on slave labor, but they built the aqueducts. They had public sewage systems. They had all of this stuff. And when the barbarians came in, they were so ignorant, they destroyed this stuff. And guess what happened after that? What was that period after that called, Joe? Dark Ages? Because of ignorance. Because people are ignorant about things. Preachers jumping up. I'm not going to ever. That TV is evil. Well, you give them 10 years until they can figure out how they can get on TV. And then the TV is the blessing of God. The internet. It's evil. It's all evil. It's evil, evil, evil. Well, then quit asking me for my money so you can get on the internet. Things are only evil if you use them for evil. If they're tools. That's all there is to it. The internet can be a great thing. It can also be a bad thing. TV can be a great thing. It can be a bad thing. Fast cars can be a good thing, but they can also be a bad thing, right? Food can be a good thing, or it can be a bad thing. I made some fudge the other day and somehow did not get my, by the time it got to temperature, my sugar hadn't liquefied, and so it's a little crunchy. It hasn't stopped me. I'm like, oh, I'm not letting all that go bad. She brought me more chocolate chips, and I've got plenty of stuff to make it with. But see, they can be good, or it can be evil. Christians need to start using their heads about, well, is that a good thing? Or when they started using more up-to-date music in the churches and Christian music, preachers by the dozens came up. It's evil. Look what I found in the devil's toolbox. He's bringing rock and roll into the church. Well, let's see. You got that instrument, that instrument, that instrument. You got the same instrument that Petra had. Guitar, bass, drums, a keyboard. What was evil? Oh, wait a minute. Your affair. We cannot look at things and say they're evil and then turn our eyes away from what obviously is evil. God does not want us to be ignorant. Somehow I flipped my pages. There we go. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, I do not want you to be ignorant. It's not going to come up. Paul told the Thessalonians, I don't want you to be ignorant. Had so many people at that time teaching, you had to be circumcised. These were the things Paul was trying to get through to them. Circumcision doesn't mean you're saved. It's just an outward sign. That's all it was. Several times, even Peter said, be not ignorant. We should not be ignorant of the enemy's devices. The number one device the enemy uses in the church is strife. Well, I don't think we should be using that kind of carpet. I don't think we should use those chairs. They're from Ohio State. They really are if you're a Buckeyes fan. These are from the Ohio State Students Union. I don't think the preacher should be wearing a shirt that promotes Ohio State over Michigan. You know what? You're a carnal Christian. We keep peddling and getting away from these issues that are tearing the church apart. Well, I don't think the church ought to prophesy. Have you read your Bible? Read your Bible. It's there for a reason. Take all the books you've got, set them on a shelf, and read your Bible. Those books are another man's interpretation. And I can promise you, I can come up with a different interpretation. Used to get me in trouble in English. That's not the interpretation the teacher wanted. Well, if you don't like my interpretation, I'm not going to participate anymore. So I didn't. I repeated that class again the following year. That wasn't so fun. Malachi 3:2-3. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand for when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as the gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Refining is a process. Zechariah 13:9 says, I will refine them as silver is refined and test them as gold is tested. I love watching Gold Rush just for the digging and equipment aspect of it. Most of the time, I think they're morons. But that's me. But I love watching them put that gold in that over the fire. And they start heating it up. And that gold starts to liquefy. And the dross starts coming to the top. And they scrape the black stuff off. And they clean it till it's pure gold. But there's another part of that scripture I just read to you. It says, I will test them as gold is tested. He said, refine and then test. I will refine them and then I will test them. See, most of the time we think the test is the refining, right? The test comes after the refining. Refining starts by hearing the word of God. So today, your refining starts. And don't think that God's going to sit there and let you off. Well, God, I just didn't know. Ignorance is no excuse. He gave you the word now. 2,000 years ago, for crying out loud, even 150 years ago, most of us in here probably couldn't read. Okay? And if we could, we could read very, very little. Not enough to probably understand the word. So, I think God would have said, okay, I get it. The Bible wasn't available. You can't read. Do you think that the disciples had the Bible? That Paul walked around with the scriptures? Do you understand how holy the Jews believe the scriptures are? You didn't dare carry that out like that. I mean, for crying out loud, those scrolls are usually big. You got to carry one book on your shoulder like this, like your daddy's shotgun. That's not a holy image, is it? Carrying the word of God on your shoulder like a log. People hold things as holy and as separate. I remember I went to a promotion board for sergeant, and we had to do close order drill, which I'd never done close order drill. I'd been part of the platoon, never the one doing it. And they hand me an NCO sword. I now have one displayed in my office. They hand me an NCO sword. I plopped that thing up on my shoulder and went walking across the parade deck like this. And my first sergeant came up behind me and he said, boy, get that sword off your shoulder. It ain't your daddy's shotgun. Needless to say, I didn't do so well. However, the following month, they sent me to NCO school where they taught me how to use that sword. Where they taught me how to do that drill. I came back a month after that to that promotion board and I won that promotion board. I didn't miss anything. I beat the guy that had beat the pants off of me before. And I carried it on up until finally got to where you had to be Jesus Christ walking on the water to be promoted. Some of them guys just amazed me. How do you have perfect scores? Chesty Puller don't think you're a Marine. But I didn't know. They taught me. I learned. And trust me, you talk about refiner's fire. When you're standing there in front of your peers and your first sergeant is whipping you up one side and down the other because you're awful. I'm like, well, I've been a corporal about a year and never been to school. But when they taught me, that's what you're here for. You're here to be taught. But here's what happened. They taught me, and I had to go home. You can ask my wife. When they put me in NCO school, I had to go check out a sword, and I had to go home. And in my neighborhood, which, praise God, was base housing, so I got sergeants and staff sergeants and corporals all around me. They knew exactly what I was doing. You go out in the city and people make fun of you. What are you, some sort of moron? Walking up and down the sidewalk. Calling off cadence and things I get. But I did it for hours. That's the only thing, that's the practical application. You take what you got here and you take it home and apply it in your life. You start doing it. See, that's why Paul told us, be doers of the word, not hearers only. I could go back and that staff sergeant could be teaching me about how to do my sword manual. And if you ever wanted to know, it's what they used to use on a recruiter's commercial. All that stuff. That stuff's fun. Until you get hit with that sword. It hurts. The tips are sharp. But because of that, because of taking it home and applying it, my staff sergeant would never give me a perfect score in anything. I don't care what I did. Got a 99 out of 100. I think it was because I told him I didn't want to be there. Watch your attitudes. It could cost you. But I'm going to tell you, it will pay off if you take what I'm telling you and you start applying it to your life. Don't just go home and put it on the shelf and say, well, whatever, you know, whatever pastor said. I don't understand this stuff about being rude and what he was talking about. Refining. I don't need no more refining. I am fine. Exactly. We can always make some adjustments somewhere. The best methods, according to LifeScience.com, for testing gold. I told you, there's a difference between testing and refining. The first one is called an acid scratch test. You take the gold, rub it on this black stone, use a nitric acid solution that is engineered for the carat of gold you're using. If you're using 24 carat or 10 carat, it's got to be the right mixture. Drop it on there. If it reacts, it's not gold. It's fake. Trisha probably knows a lot about this. I was like, I had to just call Trisha about this. But, or you can either use that, or they usually just have a sample already set up for what it should look like. The gold will not react to the acid. And if you use a controlled sample to judge it by, you know exactly when it's hit it. Do you guys realize God uses a standard? You have a standard that you're supposed to start measuring up to. Amen. You figured it out. Jesus Christ, you ain't supposed to measure up to Paul, Peter, John, none of them. Jesus Christ is your example. Peter denied Jesus. Paul persecuted Christians, knowing he knew the truth. He saw it. But he didn't want to believe it. When we look down the Bible, we see that the church was getting all kinds of crazy. One says, well, I'm of this person, I'm of this person. I believe in water baptism. I believe in sprinkling. I believe in tongues. I believe they passed away. How about we believe what the Bible says? No more. Baptized means to submerge. That's what baptism means. So if you're ever in doubt, dunk it. If we have to, you take you by the top of your head like an old washboard and dunk you a couple times. Maybe this time it'll stick. And tests are set up for the capability of the test subject. Remember, I told you that it has to be in the acid has to be mixed for the type of gold. Remember the parable of the talents? The master gave each one according to his capabilities. God's not going to hand you more. He's not going to try you. This was their test. The one who had five, he did good. One had two, he did good. The one that had one was a coward. He didn't even put it in the bank for a savings account. He merely hid it because he was afraid of his master. He was afraid of failing. Fear of failure is the thing that holds us back the most. It's why we won't do things. What if I stumble? What if I fall? I can't tell you. I'll be honest with you, folks. For me as a teenager, that was my biggest thing. You know, Brian, I went to school with him. I wasn't real big. I mean, I'm a whole lot heavier than I was back then, about 120 pounds, what I weighed. I was scrawny. But I had the recruiters calling me. Nah, I don't want to do that. And it wasn't because I didn't want to. It was because I was afraid to. Because, after all, you don't see 5'7", 5'8", 120-pound boys on the Marine commercials. Do you? Those guys are between 6 and 6'4". I can promise you that. All the guys you see twirling their rifles in Washington, D.C. are around 5'11 to 6 foot tall. They are selected, first off, on their height and then their capabilities. And I didn't match any of that. I'm like, God, I'll fail. I don't like falling and failing. Is there anybody that loves failure? Nobody loves to fail. We love to win. But I let that fear of failure almost hold me off. And it took God kind of bringing it around and kind of pushing me in through the back door. Had somebody say, why don't you just go find out what you can do? Well, I think I'll do that. Next thing you know, I'm swearing in a week later. Whirlwind romance. Exactly. Thank you for bringing that back. I found out most Marines were my size. I wasn't the oddity. They were. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we had one, and he had to sign a waiver. He was 5 foot tall. He was this tall. I'll tell you, Dan Daly, Gunnery Sergeant Dan Daly, 5'7", 130 pounds from Brooklyn, New York, retired, died in his bed, had not one, but two Congressional Medals of Honor. He's one of only a handful of men to ever win two, let alone still be alive, and die an old man in his bed. When I found out he was my size, that started changing things. It changed how I saw myself. And that's when I realized it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. And that helped me. You need to understand that about your faith and with God and dealing with the enemy. The enemy's not looking at your outward appearance. God's not even looking. He don't care about that. He don't care if you shave your head. He don't care if you got braids coming off the top of your noggin. He don't care. He don't care if you got lights hanging from your head. He doesn't care about that. But we make it a deal. He cares about what's on the inside. And he's been trying to put that fight in you for so long now. Then there's the electrical current test. It measures the conductivity of the gold. If you did not know, gold is the very best conductor on the planet. The only reason it's not used over copper, well, it's almost $2,000 an ounce. You start doing the math. Copper's quite expensive anyhow, let alone $2,000 an ounce. I think you can go sell your copper maybe for $1.39 a pound. That's a huge difference. But when I worked in the mine, we had a D10 cat dozer go down. Starter went out on it. You need to understand, part of the reason I got out of that is everything I had to lift was over 100 pounds. That starter was 100 pounds. It's that long, about that big around. And I had to have a crane to lift it up and out and swing it around. We had it rebuilt. Almost rebuilt, folks. I need you to understand, they just took a few parts, new bearings, new brushes, and new contacts. That's all they put in this thing. It was $600 in 1996. The reason it was, the contacts in that starter are gold. That's why it costs so stinking much. Caterpillar did not hold back on that starter. They used the very best material they could for the contacts because that whole front end is a motor. I mean, you need to realize that when you're looking at them big dozers, that it's about 700 horsepower sitting up there. It's huge. But anyhow, but when there's a foreign object in the gold, the flow is slowed or stopped. This creates a resistance reading on the device that's measuring it. If you don't have any resistance, if there's nothing in it, and you're pure, you're clean, your resistance comes back at zero. So that's pretty easy to understand, right? Flow. God's love flowing through it. Love's supposed to flow. Things are, the power of God's supposed to flow through us. But if we're so caught up on stuff that the flow stopped. Anybody ever live in an old house with galvanized pipes? A few of you have. Did you ever cut those open? You can have a pipe that big around and have a hole about that big. That's all you had because it's resistance in there. It has built up. It has reacted. When you cut that pipe out, actually better yet, when you took all the pipes out and put new pipes in, you had pressure again. You had flow again. Everything was so much better. Your water didn't taste irony, did it? Everything was so much better when it was clean. Now, X-rays. When the rays penetrate the gold, the atoms within the gold become excited. The inside just starts building up when the power is hitting it, and it starts bouncing things around. And when they've settled, they emit radiation, which is detected and read, revealing things not seen or confirming a well-done purification. 1 Kings 8:39 says, God knows the hearts of all men. In Genesis 6:5, we see that God looked out and he saw the hearts of men was evil continually. God, everybody runs around and said, God knows my heart. Oh, yes, he does. See, you think disobedience is just flesh. Disobedience is a heart issue. Well, I don't do the things I know I should, God, but you know my heart, Jesus. He says, yeah, absolutely, I know your heart. And you're evil. You're disobedient. You remember the parable Jesus told about the father went to his oldest son. And he said, son, I want you to do this. Son said, I ain't doing that. He went to the next son. He said, son, I want you to do this. He said, yeah, I'll get right on that, dad. I'm going to do that for you. And over the time, the younger one did not do what he was supposed to, but the older one looked in and he said, you know what? I shouldn't have said that. I will go do what my father said to do. See, a lot of people, oh, Jesus, I'll crawl to China for you. He ain't asking you to crawl to China. He wants you to go to the grocery store. He wants you to go to Walmart. God knows you got a perfect ground. Maybe he just wants you to go to Lowe's. I don't need anything from Lowe's. It ain't you that needs something. God puts in your heart, just go to Lowe's. Go to Lowe's and walk around. I love doing it. Why do I have this urge to go here? Just go. Well, I'm not going to create a revival. You ain't supposed to create a revival. Not like what we think. See, if I meet my friend out in the street and I pray for him and he walks away changed, where's the revival? Right there. It started right there. You want a real revival, you start getting people one-on-one. It's easy to walk away from revivals. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus got saved and dancing all over the place. And then Monday morning shows up. Y'all know about Monday morning, don't you? It's that green little monster just waiting there beside your alarm clock. And you go, oh, and it goes, bam! It's Monday, buddy! You see, we are so worried that God can't use us because we didn't reach 5 million people. If God has told, Reinhard Bonnke just passed away last week. Led millions to the Lord in Africa. That was his calling. People need to start understanding this. That's his calling. Not everybody's. There are people that have gone out and got into callings they weren't called for, and the devil ran roughshod over them, killed them, destroyed anything they were supposed to have ever been because they weren't where they were supposed to be. You know, as a Marine, if I got orders from my sergeant, he said, Corporal, I wanted you to take your fire team and go over here, and we'll provide air support. And then while we're covering you with air support, you attack from that flank. Well, if I get going across there, you know what? He's a moron. He don't know what he's talking about. We ain't going over there. We're going over here. Look, we got this, the element of surprise over here. We get over there. All the fire's over here, and then we try to attack. We have no cover. We have absolutely no cover, no protection, because we're not where we're supposed to be. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're doing something we thought was good. And I'll be honest with you, just as a man in general, that is one of the hardest things to do, is to do what somebody else told us to do. Am I not? I can get an amen from that, can't I? It's hard for somebody else to tell us and us to do it. Well, I don't know why they want me to do it. Listen, regardless of what you feel about any of the presidents, I'll promise you this, they know stuff you will never know. My sergeant knew stuff I didn't know. My gunny knew stuff he didn't know. The first sergeant knew stuff the gunny didn't know. And the sergeant major knew stuff that none of us will ever get to know. So the higher you go up, the more you know. You may not be the one in the trench, but somebody has to know that stuff in order to call the shots and say, go here, go here. We have intel that says they're here. There ain't nobody here. Yeah, getting out of that. Acts chapter 15, verses 8 through 9. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Purifying their hearts by faith. You want your heart purified, right? It's got to be clean. You don't want any garbage in there blocking the conductivity. I'll get it out. You don't want anything in there blocking that. Because if it's in there, it's impure. And it sends the signal in weird ways. One of the things I had to learn how to do as a mechanic, a diesel mechanic, was to test glow plugs. They had to have a certain resistance. If they did not have that resistance, we had to replace them. Now, I was talking to Jesse the other day about glow plugs, and I said, I don't know how those are, but the 6.2 diesels that I worked on, which are awful, they're a terrible motor to begin with, the glow plugs would swell on the inside, and you couldn't pull them out. You had to have the head removed. It was a dumb design. They should have made a socket that goes into it, and then that screws in, and you can pull the whole thing out. But hey, I'm not an engineer. Just a guy that had to work on it. But if it didn't have the right resistance, it wouldn't heat the cylinder head up, and that diesel would just sit there and puff white smoke all day long. So you got to have the right clearance. God doesn't want you having a bunch of resistance. He wants you to come up with 0.0 on the dial. Still in the definitions, sometimes when I'm writing my notes, I get a little ahead of myself. How about discourteous and unmannerly? 1 Peter chapter 3. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil, but reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. God doesn't want us treating each other discourteously. My brother, he hurt me, I'm going to hurt him back. Now, if you had a brother growing up, or even a sister, I can promise you that's the way it is. He did this to me. You wait till I get him back. That's the way it goes. But Peter told us not to be like that, not to be discourteous. But to love as a brother to a brother. And now he's talking about people in here, folks. People you didn't grow up with. People you have no familial connection to. He's telling you right now to love the person in front of you, behind you, beside you. Love them. No matter how they treat you. Well, they snubbed me. They just walked right on by. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that from mature Christians. Who should be mature? Let me put it that way. Because if you're still acting like that, you're not mature. Get over it. See, that's one thing I'll tell you that a lot of preachers won't. I don't care if you like Michigan over Ohio State. I don't really care. Get over it. It doesn't matter. Everybody's so afraid. Well, don't tell jokes. Oh, for crying out loud. I'd rather have a joke than a bunch of sticks in the mud. Well, Jesus never joked. We only have this much of his life. And I've told you many times, if we read down through there and we read as human beings, as we are, there's things you can look in and see. I think that was actually a bit sarcastic. He was trying to be funny there. But we don't read the scripture that way, do we? And thus said the Lord God. Got to emphasize God. If you ain't holy enough. I better not do that again. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. In honor. Honor. That is a word that's lost not only to the church, to this country. To this world, there is no more honor. And you know where we lost it? And here's where I put the blame. The church. The church lost honor. Not because they weren't honoring the men and women of God in their lives. Had nothing to do with it. The men and women of God were no longer honorable. They were not worthy of it. They demanded honor, but they couldn't command honor. I didn't want to follow anybody into battle who I wouldn't follow in a dodgeball fight. We have got to start bringing honor back to the church. I'm not talking about big parades and stuff. Honor. All the trappings on the outside are just that, trappings. When you can't honor in your heart, that's where it's lost. I'll be honest with you. I actually had to learn just to honor a rank because I had to. That's where I got to. But there were several men that I served under. I honored them because of who they were, because of their character. I'd follow them to hell and back. That's exactly where I'd have gone. But I didn't see a whole lot of it. I can tell you all kinds of horror stories about the military. And that's just from my little 4-year stint. About somebody that spent 20, 30 years in. You have to pretty much die. Some of them have to do such crooked things in order to get ahead. And the stuff that's going on in Washington right now is no different. People don't honor the office of president anymore. Well, that's just Donald Trump. No, that is President Donald Trump. Don't care if you like him or not. It was President Barack Obama. Don't care if you liked him or not. Had nothing to do with it. Because Peter, I believe, was one of them that said, give honor to whom honor is due. And leaders are do that. And if you think I'm kidding, somebody go out and do something stupid, not really, okay, that gets you arrested, and you go before the judge. By the way, I know a couple of them by name, first name. I dare you. Call them by their first name. I dare you. I double dog dare you. See how fast you're in contempt of court. and your butt sitting down in the pokey, right? There are people that they will try to push and not give you the honor. I had it. You know, when I got promoted from E3 to E4, all my buddies were E3s. What do? These are my friends. And now I outrank them. And these guys will tell you right now, you don't do that. That stops. It's fraternization now. It goes on. I didn't stop being friends with them. But the one told me, he says, I'm not going to call you corporal. I said, well, I'll tell you what, Sean. I said, that's all fine and dandy when we're just playing cards. But I said, if you ever disrespect me in public, I will break you. He got it. He was a little familiar with me. He wouldn't give me the honor that I was due. And after the beating I took from my rank, there's that part of it that you guys don't know about. That's our welcome to our club beating. I earned it. But we don't give that honor. We've stopped doing it in the church. Oh, that's just Joe Schmuckatelli. You know what? No, it's not. I've told you before, one, I will never demand. But I pray to God you get it figured out quickly. Because I'm not here because I want to be here. I can't tell you how many times I've asked God, can I go to the moon? There's nobody on the moon. Man, just now got to the word I want to get to. Let me see if I can. I'm going to do this last word, okay? You're going to be just a few minutes, but. Number five definition, violent. Love is not violent. This is all caught up and rude. Now, you've heard me say before, I can be a violent man. I guarantee you every last one of us in here can be violent. You fight for your life. If you ain't violent, you're going to die. However, you need to understand what violence really is. Y'all have all heard the Few Good Men explanation. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. And that's the truth. I'll be honest with you, there is no Geneva Convention in my book. Waterboard them, I don't care. There is no friends in war. When they're out to kill you, it's war. You need to understand what war really is. War is not, well, let's make up, Keith. Come on, man. Keith's like, I ain't making up. Oh, yeah, sure. Wait till I get you, sucker. That's what war really is. But let me explain to you what the Hebrew word that is used the majority of the time in the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, for violence in this definition. It's a Hebrew word, Hamas. Did y'all hear that? Hamas. That means violence. Does that ring a bell with anybody? They call themselves violence. Violence, wrong done, implies cruelty, damage, and injustice. Reference to people, oppressive. How many times have Christians said, well, I'll support you, even though you're crookeder than a dog's hind leg, because you go to my church. Doesn't that sound a little injustice? Supporting somebody even though they're crooked and they're evil. I'm going to do the message again, but I pointed out many years ago, if we go through the Bible, I lost track of how many times God talks about how he hates unjust scales. And how when we're supposed to judge between two people, we're not to judge for the poor just because he's poor or the rich just because he's rich. That's unjust. God is about justice. Don't think that people are getting away with what they think they're getting away with. Eternity is a long time as well. Wrong done. There's another word, gazal. It's a verb. It means to rob, to take by force, to deprive or take away rights, property, wife, children, or sleep. I'm going to stop there. I just wanted to get you thinking on that. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence. See, people think they can just push in. I'm going to just take the blessings of God. No, you're not. You earn them. Isn't that what we just read a little bit ago? You'll get a blessing, but it requires something from you. It requires you honor. It requires that you love. It requires that you treat people good. Not just getting saved gets you the blessings of God. Not just because you belong to this camp or that camp. I don't belong to any camp. This church doesn't belong to any camp. We're the body of Christ, cut and dry. I don't know what part of the body. I mean, we might be just the skin over the kneecap. I don't know. But let's get something straight. If you didn't have that skin over your kneecap, how gingerly are you going to be if you didn't have skin over your kneecap? You're going to walk around like that. Don't touch my kneecap. Anytime you get a boo-boo or anything, you're like, oh, no, don't get near that. Yeah, wrap bubble wrap around us. God wants us to start changing. The Bible says he's coming back for a bride without spot nor wrinkle. We need to understand something. The clothes and drip, that's our righteousness that he gives us. But it's got to be, it says without wrinkle. Listen, folks. When I would inspect my Marines every Monday morning, Monday and Fridays, we had inspections. I checked their hair length. I removed their covers. I checked to see that their name was in their cover. I checked to see if they changed the oil in that cover. Y'all know what I'm talking about if you wear a hat a lot. But I would step back and I would look at their general appearance. And in my platoon, I had one Marine who was a dirtbag. He should have been put someplace where we never had to see. He'd show up with holes. I don't think even the Army allows that stuff. All you got to do is sew it up. Iron them. Put an iron to them. Didn't have to starch them. We did. It was supposedly illegal. I don't know. If that's illegal, then I guess gluing my pockets down was illegal too. But boy, my uniform looked good. My pockets weren't flapped open. My boots were spit-shined, not just buff-shined. I never expected anything from anybody that I didn't do myself. And so this one guy was always, he's just a dirtbag, didn't care. He was a private, been busted. He was being run out of the Corps, but the Corps just loves to, hey, we got money invested in you. We're going to just drag this out for you. I'm like, just send him to the mess hall. Who cares? I guess if you had to eat the food, you would. But time and time again, I tried to get that guy to straighten up. He wouldn't do it. His uniform was pathetic. I remember the first time I heard it, and you got to understand, when you're in formation, you don't smile, you don't laugh, you barely breathe. And I, my first inspection out in the fleet, somebody showed up on Monday morning, didn't iron their camis. I'm standing there, and Gunny stepped over there and he said, "Boy, what'd you do? Jump on a wrinkle grenade?" I just about lost my discipline at that one. So from that point on, what'd you do? Stop a wrinkle bomb from going off on somebody? Wrinkles. Our appearance says without spot nor wrinkle. Not just the spots, the wrinkles. Things. What difference does it make if my shirt's wrinkled? Right? Come on. What difference does it make if your shirt is wrinkled? Really, absolutely none in functionality. But I can promise you, when you take the time to iron your shirt, iron your pants, don't iron blue jeans, please. That's a Southern thing. I know a few people that did it. I had somebody try to make me do it. Like, yeah, you may be from Texas and iron your blue jeans, boy, but we ain't in Texas. And if you take the time and you iron your stuff, you know what happens? You start feeling better. You start wanting to do your job. Sometimes the stuff that God makes us do, we think, well, this is all for God. No, it's all been about for us. If I've got a shirt that's got a big old stain on it and it won't come out, trash or work shirt. Last week I was feeding Carter and he was eating air on my lap and he got some, I don't remember what it was now, but I looked down, there's a big old blob of food laying there on my arm. I think, well, this is going to the laundry now. It was my insulated top. But didn't hurt it. It'll wash out. It'll clean up. But I needed to have it laundered. We need that from time to time, folks. We need cleaned up. We'll pick up more on that, some of that stuff next week. Maybe. I'm not saying we're not finishing. I'm just saying maybe God has something for next week. But understand this. I want this out here. I want this so people understand. When I say I'm violent, I'm not that. Do you understand? It takes violent men to secure freedom and rights. Jesus Christ was a violent man, if you ain't figured that out. I have yet to knock over your tables and beat you with a belt. He did it twice. So don't. What's that? Oh, I ain't gonna lie about that. No. God, a cat of nine tails. You know, just a bullwhip, just one. Psh. But I will promise you, folks, that I would. I don't expect anything out of anybody that I don't expect out of myself. And part of the reason why I expect things, my sons, I expect things out of them. Well, Dad, you didn't do it. It's because I failed. Because I didn't see an importance in something. I thought I was better off without it and realized, no, I wasn't. I failed. So don't ever think that God is doing something in your life just because he's a mean daddy. Listen, we all understand. You know, I know some of you had to deal with your kids today, yesterday. Attitudes, bring attitudes into check. We all have to do it. And if we didn't love our children, we wouldn't do it. Just get out of my hair. But God loves us. And that's why he sent his Holy Spirit. The main job of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world of sin. He convicts the world of sin. We're still in the world. If we got something wrong, he's convicting us. But he doesn't leave us without a way to correct things. It took men yelling at me to change things. And I mean calling me some funny names. I say funny now. They weren't so funny then. Hitting me to get me to understand. You need to change your attitude, boy. I'm not going to change for you. And the quicker I adapted to their way of thinking, Lord, it was a lot easier. Didn't have to think about things. It was easy. What time are we going to chow? Same time we went to chow yesterday. How are we getting there? Same way we got there yesterday. I could walk it in my sleep because I'm pretty sure I did. God doesn't want us to just stay looking like wrinkle bombs. He wants us pressed. He wants us spotless. You can go, I think about all the branches now have a drill team. I promise you, you can go to every one and you won't find a wrinkle. You won't find a string hanging off their uniforms. They are spit and span. Now, I can't vouch for the other ones on this detail, but I do know every week the Marines that do the silent drill with those M14s strip the varnish off and re-varnish them every week. Think about that. The guys that work with weapons, that's a lot of work. And they still have to practice. And they still have other jobs to do. But they stay on it because of the honor of the job they have. Because they represent all of us. And when I jump on the church, particularly leadership in it, that's what the world sees. The world judges the Marine Corps by silent drill team sometimes. Look at them, they're spot and polished. But you let one of us screw up out in the field, that's a black eye, no matter how good they were doing. Don't let the devil run roughshod over you. Take the stuff. You know your heart. God knows your heart, more importantly. You know your heart. Quit fighting. Let him change it. Amen? All right, let's stand. Get a little drink here. Praise God. Oh, I did want to share Glenn. Some of you may not know who he is. He's the really big guy that's been coming. Really tall guy. Who's a Marine, by the way, so y'all better be nice. But he had heart surgery. He's functioning on, I think they said, 25% of his heart. He's a big man. And I prayed for him last week. He came and asked for prayer. But he was going to have surgery. They were going to remove the bottom half of his heart because it's dead. However, they went in and changed his batteries and said, we're going to let this go for a while. What we're believing, ladies and gentlemen, is God's restoring that heart. Because they want to give him a heart transplant, but because of his size, they said that probably will not happen to find a heart that big. So, you know, we all thought they were all the same size, but he's really is a big guy. So, but I know he'd appreciate your prayers and thinking about him. I ran into his neighbor the other day, and she was telling me about it. So he came out doing okay. I know he's just not feeling real great. So if you ever get to thinking you're not feeling great, remember, at least you're hopefully functioning on 100% of your heart. So anyhow. Okay, well, I'm going to stop.
Okay.
Another Okay. What do you want me to open these up here?
Yeah. I mean, we want to see it.
Okay. Well, I'm just making sure. Let me put my. All right. All right, Pop Pop. Sweet. Yes, thank you. Yes. Right there. Well, again, thank you. You know, we are honored to be the pastors of this body, you know, and know this, that when you rejoice, we do rejoice. And when you hurt, we hurt. So, you know, we may not always seem like it, but sometimes you do just have to paint a smile on your face. And just go on. When you got to do something you don't like, sometimes you just got to lean forward, grab the straps, and get through it. And that's sometimes what we just have to do as a family. So always keep that in mind, you know, and never, you know, if you're experiencing going through something, don't ever think that, well, it's past, you know, they can't do that right now. Listen, this is a 24/7 job for us. Yeah. We're here. We know the devil doesn't wait until 9 o'clock in the morning to start warfare with you. We will pray, and y'all been around when we pray. I don't believe in dancing with the devil. I just as soon punch him a few dozen times with the authority that God's given us, the Word of God. And, yeah, truly honored. Thank you. Yeah, I love you. So, hallelujah. Well, okay. Let's pray, shall we? Father God in heaven, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for the word that you have sent, the word that came and healed our dis-ease. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving on our hearts right now, Father. That you know what's in there. Father, help us to quit turning a blind eye to it. Bring it out so that we see it and that we deal with it. Father, we turn our backs, we crucify that flesh. And now, Father, I thank you and I praise you for my family. Lord, I bless them. We thank you for them, Father. We ask, Father, that as they go from here today, as they go about to do their daily tasks, they go to eat, Father, whatever it is they're going to do, Father, we bless them in that. Father, we pray that you move on their behalves. Father, I thank you for victories they're overcoming, for the battles they're about to approach, and the impending victory there. Lord, I pray for strength, courage, and wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.